Last week, I spoke on the church that Jesus is building as a holy church. And so we begin to look at the holiness of God. And so I want to carry that through today and see what are the people look like that are a part of a holy church? What do we look like? Those that make up this holy church. And God displays holiness as his central theme in the Word of God. We'd all say love, but it's not love. It's holiness. And it's because of holiness that Jesus hung on a cross for you and I, that we could be cleared of our sin. That we wouldn't have to hurt ourselves, like you see some of the guys in the movies. You know, they hit their backs like this, and they do all those things to hurt themselves, to pay penance. But Jesus actually did it for us. But we have become complacent. We have embraced, I said last week, we've embraced the comfort of God's nearness at the expense of his transcendence. We're so nice and cuddly to be with you, Jesus, but actually he is holy. He is transcendent. He is above all. And our view of God has been diminished. We all see God as the small little God that we have made him. But he is not. And so how do we live out the fact that God is everything? God is everything. If he's not everything in your, as you're sitting there tonight, I want to ask you to make the adjustment and make him everything in your life. Because God does not tolerate idols. And anything that comes between him and you is an idol. Sometimes it's our children. We put them above God. Sometimes it's our wife. So how do we live out holiness? 1 Peter 1, verses 14 to 16. We're gonna stay in this for a while, so don't rush past it on the AV. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, God wrote it in his word, be holy because I am holy. As I said last week, when he says be holy, it means you've got to do something. Not just, oh, I'll just be holy. No, your conduct, your character, those are the things that bring you into a place of holiness. What emerges from 1 Peter is that the Christian life is lived in God and for God. That's our reason for life. I'm coming across more and more people in Josh Jen, which I'm excited about, that are just prepared to lay down what needs to be laid down so that they can do what needs to be done. Unfortunately, there are those that are more interested in creature comforts. I'm not telling you to go and give your job away because our arms account is not big enough to carry you. And probably the guys who give up their jobs are the guys who give the most to the arms. So they lived in God and for God. We need to be ever aware of God. When my children were growing up, I've got three sons. When they were growing up, I would line them up from time to time. There's like about 2 years between them. So 4, 6, and 8. And I'd say, my boys, when I call you, you better come. And then I taught them a whistle. Because actually you can whistle a lot louder than you can shout. And so I would whistle. And one or two of them would come, but there'd always be one that didn't come. And that one that didn't come would rock up when he realized that my brothers are gone. He would rock up and say, Dad, I didn't hear you. And I would say to him, you weren't listening. Because that whistle, we had a big garden, but that whistle could be heard right around the garden. There's no ways they couldn't hear it. And so we need to be ever aware of God. We need to be listening. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? What do you want me to do now? What? Be aware of God, not caught up in all the things around us that we actually forget what God is wanting from us. Ever submitted to God? How do you submit to God? Everyone's looking at me. They don't want to answer. How do you submit to God? You submit through your leaders. You submit to your leaders because the word says submit to your leaders and obey. And so as you find your place in that place of submission to them, they take responsibility from that place. It's not an easy thing to have people say, I submit to you. What do you want me to do? People, deacons often say, give us work. And when you give them work, they're like, hey, you're giving me too much. Or I haven't got time to do that or something like that. Ever trusting God. Yohandre was talking about trust today. We need to be those that trust God. And trust is not just words that come out of your mouth. They're actually actions that take place when you trust. When you say, as Yohandre said, I'm going to trust you, Lord, to provide an income for me. And I will not negotiate on my tithe. And you see, the thing is, a lot of people wait until the end of the month and whatever's left over, they then use as their tithe. But that's not trust. Trust is at the beginning of the month, you pay your tithe, and then you allow God to work in your life. Because you know what? If you're not like that, then I don't want a tithe. If God's not going to take care of me now when I tithe, His word says He will take care of me. And so I have to trust. And we need to be those people. Ever hoping in God. Guided by God. But for me, the amazing thing is the ongoing insignificance of God in people's lives. Just people carry on with life. And even Christians, they just carry on with life. It doesn't matter what I do, when I do it, how I do it. It doesn't matter if I'm not obeying the word, because that we have to live in a place of obedience to God's word. When you say that to people, they want to say, oh, but that's under the law. No. It's living under God by grace. You will never work out God's word without grace in your life. Never. So we look into the New Testament, and the most awesome, stunning, frightening thing is that God is everywhere, all the time, in everything that we do. David writes about it in the Psalms. He says, it doesn't matter where I go, and he gives a whole lot of places. He says, there you are. There you are. Have you ever felt like that? You're trying to run away from God, and wherever you go, there He is. Put your head under the water in the bath, and you find Him there. He's in the shape of a bubble as you're breathing. But He's everywhere. We walk out of church, and we think, yo, that was a good meeting, and then someone says something, not even to you, but you hear it. Like Lindy heard what Bianca brought and felt God wants to sing that to us, not us sing it to them. And that was amazing. And so last week, one of the things I said, we should never compare ourselves to one another. I shouldn't look at Vidya and say, hey, I'm a better Christian than him. Our only comparison should be to God. How am I doing in relation to God? Not how am I doing in relation to Vilma, because I'll come off second best anyway. She's probably doing better than I am. But we need to be careful, because we serve a holy God, and we cannot because when we compare to others, what we find is we begin to get into a thing of comparison. Then the very next thing after comparison is performance. Got to watch the musicians. They like, I'm better than her or she's better than me. And then you get performance. Then what comes out of performance? The thing that God hates. Pride. God hates pride. It actually says he will resist the proud. You don't want God resisting you, especially a holy God. So the Old Testament root idea of holiness is being separated from what is effectively evil. So everything that is evil and defective, God is separated from it because he is holy. That word holy means to be separated from. So if you're holy, you're separated from. Like an alcoholic, if he's got a problem with drinking, what he needs is holiness, separation from. And so that's what they need to do. There is no other creator, no other sustainer, no other final measure. There is nothing. 1 Samuel 2:2 says, there is no one like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. I was just thinking as we were singing, people, when I was thinking about God is love, but the word also says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And I believe that when we draw close to God, it's the love of God drawing us close. But when we start to separate ourselves and pull away from God, it's the fear of God that actually brings you back. I don't know about you, but it's like that for me. When I start to realize, hey, I'm getting myself into a bad place, I need the fear of God to come and to bring me back into the love of God. So 1 Peter 1:14 to 16, just 5 steps in the way that God shows his holiness in the lives of believers. God calls us, first of all. In verse 15, it says, but just as the one who called you, God calls you, he's holy, he has called you. This is the same as being involved in new birth, of being born again. God calls you. In 1 Peter 1:3, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's when you come to that place. And do you think you can get born again on your own? That's a question. What happens? When you get saved, God actually calls you and you respond to him. And he says, you are now my son or my daughter. My son died for you. I wrote this sentence down, so I read it somewhere and I want to read it to you. You cannot become holy by stopping sinning, but you are made holy when you stop sinning, never in your own strength. So you can't be holy because you stop sinning. You must be holy, and then God will help you to stop sinning. We become children of God. The effect of this call or this new birth is now that we become children of God. And because we become children of God, the Spirit of God comes to live inside us. And Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit are sons of God. If you're not led by the Spirit, you might think you're a Christian, but the word doesn't say that. The word says when you are, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you and begins to lead you, that you are a son of God. So how does this happen? As he leads you, we see things differently. Verse 14, do not be conformed to your former evil desires, which were yours in ignorance. Sometimes we do things that we don't know are wrong. But guys, when we do those things and we catch ourselves, we need to do something about it, because we are not being children of God if we're not being led by the Spirit. And the Spirit is there looking at everything you do all of the time. And He's looking over your shoulder to see what you have done and when you did it. And we need to be those that are, Lord, lead me. Lead me, Lord. I want to be led by God. I don't want to be led by my senses. Those five senses, smell things, touch things, feel things, all those physical things. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. So we see things differently, and we no longer are conformed to our former evil desires. And so, but how do we know what is better? You see, when we look at something and we want to evaluate it, we mustn't evaluate it to the world systems. We must evaluate it to God and His holiness. Oh, that's okay. And then, but that's definitely not okay when I put it next to God. So we need to be those. God is supreme in the universe. We need to put away old desires and experience new ones. New ones that are in God, leading you forward in God, being led by the Spirit. Do not be, in verse 14 it says, do not be conformed to the former evil desires which were yours in ignorance. So we have this thing in your life, and if you are led by God, He will help you to overcome these things. Because I don't know about you, if you've got two plants and you water one, and you don't water the other one, eventually the one that you're not watering will die. And that's how God works in your life. As you give attention to the right thing, that thing will grow in your life. As you spend time in the Word, as you spend time in prayer, as you spend time speaking about the Word, those things, that plant is growing. And as you don't, I've got to be careful what I say, don't, what can't you don't do? Quickly, don't blink at me. Don't get drunk. I never said you can't have a glass of wine, but I said don't get drunk. God says, don't get drunk. Be filled with the Spirit. And so we need to be those that are allowing those things that are, don't stand up against God and His holiness, to die in our life. We've got to let them die. We can't keep them living in our life. We can't, every now and again, we just put a little bit of water over there, and that happens when you do what you shouldn't be doing. So what are you feeding in your life? And then the last part of this is, these new desires and putting aside of the old ones lead to obedience to God and non-conformity to the world. So you know that scripture in Romans where it says, be transformed and not conformed. Transformed is from the inside. Conformed is from the outside. Peer pressure. This is how you got to look. This is how you got to dress. This is how you have to speak. Whereas transformation happens from the inside as you are led by the Spirit of God. So, we obey God. And so what does this mean? It means God pulls us to Himself. He calls us. If you're here today and you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, He has called you. You couldn't do it any other way. I want to tell you, you can't. Then all the new truths and values is a whole new way of living with fresh desires, and the former stuff all beginning to die as you don't feed that stuff in your life. In Romans, it does say, reckon those things as dead. Reckon those things as dead. Make sure that you don't feed them. So the new ones, grow and our realization of Lord, this is what you want me to do. And it becomes harder as we walk closer to God. Because all the things that we allow to happen, God begins to put his finger on those things. And he begins to say, you can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. You watch a movie and something comes up on the movie. You can't do that anymore. We are a Netflix, whatever, Amazon, Prime, whatever is generation. And I'm over 60. And I'm still in that generation. We are sold out on social media. If social media says, do this, we do it. I look at Facebook so I can get people's birthdays. So if you want to be wished from me, put your birthday on Facebook and become my friend. It's amazing. It's a shepherding tool. But guys, don't spend your life just scrolling through that. I watch people. They don't even look at what they are scrolling. And you know what? Sooner or later, the wrong stuff comes across that screen. And I don't know why, but people stop it on that one. And it's like, oh, I shouldn't be watching this. Oh, it's too long. Guys, you need to protect yourself. You need to protect yourself. So I exhort you as obedient children, those that are gonna, you are gonna say, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I am gonna follow after the Spirit and be called a child of God. Those former desires that I had to do stuff that wasn't holy, I am gonna put those things down. Not in my own strength, but I'm full of the Spirit. I don't know, have you guys had these experiences where you're about to do something and you hear God say no? And it's not even bad, but it's no. You want to go through the stop street, but don't stop. Do you have that? Sometimes when you're late, it's hard. But you know what? You will find the things that God is putting on his finger on your life. And I find that he cleans up your show. He cleans up this area, then he cleans up that area, all things that are working together. And you can see the pattern of what God is doing in your life. If you're sitting here this afternoon and you're thinking, oh man, I can't get this thing right. I'm telling you now, the Holy Spirit can bring you to a place and fill you that you would become a child of God and follow after the Spirit. But you know what? You must want it. You must want it. You can't take it. He gives it. But you must want it. You must want it. Submit yourselves to God, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Receive. It means you get. It means he's a gift. It's not something you pay for. It's not something that you earn. It's something that you're given, but you've got to receive it. Many of us stop ourselves from receiving by the way that we live and the things that we do and the things that we say. I think God is wanting to bring us to a place where he cleans up our lifestyle. That we can truly be those that can be called a part of the Holy Church. Where we're living with good character and we're living with good conduct. So our character is good, and when our character is good, our conduct is good. Why is that? Because whatever's in your heart comes out of your mouth and you live it out. But it all starts up here in your head. I wonder if we could just bow our heads and somebody could come up here and play something.